Blog Talk Radio.
Hard as hard to take a stand, not knowing I'd lose my best friend. Up my eyes, all God's children to stand. Hey, tell somebody, say,
you stand.
Yeah, Lord, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness. Oh. Stand for righteousness.
And be counted,
among them that shall reign with him.
Stand, not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of my children to stand, stand. Everybody say it,
you stand.
Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
Out there, you're used to it. Praise God, it's new for me.
But I'm engaged, I'm excited, and I'm ready to hit it. Amen. So welcome. I want to welcome you. First, giving honor to God, who's my Lord and Savior. Amen. He is truly awesome. I have nothing but awesome things to say about my God. He is a keeper. He's faithful. God has been my everything. Amen. Everything. Praise God. And I love the Lord on today. And I just want to honor him. I want to give him all praise and glory. I want to consider the Lord our God as one that we can't do this without him. Amen. So I welcome you. I also want to give honor to my husband, Elder David Ambrose Shaw. God bless you. I love you. Amen. And also to my bishop, Joel David Trout, who's been my mentor. Amen. He knows Diane. Amen. Got saved under his ministry under North Park Apostolic Church there in San Diego some years ago. Amen. But one thing we must always know this is never forget where we come from. Amen. So I just want to acknowledge that. So enough of that. I'm going to give a really quick announcement. Every time I speak with you, I'm going to have an announcement very short. I am starting an organization. It's called Remembering Moms, for all of us that are out here who have lost our mom. Amen. It's going to be a ministry that is going to acknowledging moms that are gone on. I remember my mom said to someone, and I remember her saying, "Don't forget me." So we want to show our moms that are gone on with the Lord. Amen. May they rest in peace, that we will never forget you. Amen. And the impact that you have had on our life. So I'll be speaking more about that, especially for those who have lost their moms. We're going to come together, and it's going to be just awesome. Awesome. Praise God. Without further ado, let's get started. Amen. Amen. So I've been doing this series on loving God, and yesterday I talked about loving God, and I brought up about how God has given us in his word to love him with all our heart, our mind, our strength, our soul. And I want to talk about what that looks like, because we can talk about the Bible, but we need to put it in real time. I call it layman terms. So I want to put it in layman terms and break it down to where it's no matter who you are, you can understand what I'm saying. I mean, I can come forth and I can speak over your head, or I can speak under you, but I want to speak straight to you. Amen? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this time of fellowship, this time of fellowship in your word, just meditating on your word, supping in your word. Father, I pray for every soul that's listening, whether it be through Blog Talk, whether it be through Facebook, Twitter, whatever media that they're listening. Some may be listening through archives, a recorded copy. I pray for them, Father, where they're at, and I ask that you meet them. I pray, Father, for this word, this teaching that you're going to release through me. I decrease that you may increase. Have your way. Touch the hearts of your people. Open their minds of understanding, Father. Give them ears to hear. Have your way, Father. We invite your spirit into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's get going. Amen. Again, I am Lady Diane Shaw, and I'm happy to be your host on today. Amen. Praise God. So today I want to talk about loving God. And I don't think we can talk too much about that. And this is kind of like where I'm at right now, talking about loving God. And I feel that in this hour of time is necessary. It's necessary. And so I want to talk about different characters in the Bible and different people and their journey and how we can take the journey of those that are in the biblical term that's in the Bible, and how we can use that. You know, there's nothing new under the sun, and a lot of things you will see that occurred in the Bible, in the Old New Testament, it's also occurring in our life right now. That's why they say it's a living word. It's a living word. It's alive. Amen. I want to talk to you about a man that was a rich young ruler who Jesus had asked him to go sell everything that he had. And it goes on, it's actually in Matthew's chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. Have your Bibles open. Matthew's chapter 19, verse 16 to 22. This was a very rich ruler. And Jesus actually asked him to sell everything that you have. Everything that you have. Can you imagine if Jesus had came to you and had required of you to give, you have a mansion, nice big house you live in, you have cars, lots of cars that you have, and wealthy, very wealthy, lots of money in the bank, whole lot of money. Well, here we have Matthew chapter 19. I'm there. Let's go there together, and let's read it. And it goes as said in verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good, none one that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which, said Jesus, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. So, verse 20 says, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth on up. I've been a good guy, Lord. I mean, I've done these things. I've followed all the commandments. So this looks like this is going to be pretty easy for me. I'm thinking he's, you know, kind of paraphrasing. You know, Jesus done gave him all the commandments and what he needed to do. And he's pretty much saying, well, I've done that since my youth. And so he said, as he said, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? In other words, I've done everything that's be required of me. What do I like? What do I lack? And Jesus said unto him, verse 21, if thou would be perfect, here we go, come on. Watch this. Go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Did you see that? Jesus told him, excuse me, Jesus said, sell everything that you have, everything. Remember I told you in the beginning, this was a rich, rich, wealthy young ruler. He's rich and he's young. And Jesus is telling this man to sell everything he has and follow him. And I like what Jesus said. He said, and follow me. And he says, you got to catch this. And you will have treasures in heaven. In other words, you got to be willing to give up all this down here in order to get all that up there. All right, look at 22. But when a young man heard that saying, when he heard Jesus tell him to get rid of all his things, his money, he went away sorrowful, crying like, what? though he had great possessions, he went away crying because he had a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. How many of you know that when we leave this place, when we leave earth, wherever you are in this world, when you leave, have you ever seen a U-Haul, several U-Hauls trailing behind a hearse? Have you ever seen someone pulling their house or all their cars, all their things behind a hearse? You better hear me today. Jesus told him, give it all up for the treasures that are in heaven. Something that, as I said yesterday, it's something that is very temporal. Something that's very temporarily. It's during your lifetime. However your lifetime is. Well, my mom's lifetime, God bless her soul, lived 98 years. And she left a whole lot of stuff. A lot of things. You know, things that she accumulated through the years. So this rich young ruler had to walk away sorrowful, sad. He just knew he had it in the bag because he had been following all the commandments since his young days. In verse 23, then Jesus said unto the disciple, verily, verily, surely I say unto you, that a rich man, come on somebody, you hear what I'm telling you now, that a rich man shall barely enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus then says, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, if you hear Jesus say this, the disciple in verse 25 then says, when they heard it, they were amazed. They were amazed. Who then can be saved? Who can be saved? If this rich young ruler who has kept the commandments, the letter of the law, all his life, and if he can't get into it, if he can't make it in, who can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I'm going to leave it right there. This rich young ruler was someone who followed the letter of the law. You get people who are, they can quote all the scriptures, and they can tell you about the commandments, the Ten Commandments, and then they know the letter of the law. I want to bring back to your remembrance of what I read in the beginning of the verse here, the chapter, and it was pretty much saying, he says, behold, he says, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good can I do? Because I've been real good. I've been real good. I mean, I've asked the people, asked the neighbors. You know, some people can tell you, oh, yeah, that's a good, that guy there, he's a good guy. She's a good girl. Yeah, oh, yeah, we've been watching her. She's definitely going to make it in. She's definitely going to make it in there. She's making it into heaven because she's a good girl. She gives to the poor. She goes to church every Sunday. She carries her Bible. You feel me? So here Jesus is. So he said to him, why do you call me good? He's saying, good teacher. And And Jesus saying, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. Jesus, even being who he was trying to tell them that there's no one good, no one righteous but God. Every time he opened his mouth, he was teaching. Every time Jesus opened his mouth, he was teaching anyone that was around. No one is good but one. But if you want to enter in, he said, but if you want to enter into life, but if you want to enter life, keeping the commandments, he said to him. And then, you know, again, he says, which one? He's asking Jesus the name, which one that you want me to keep? And of course, as I read here, Jesus starts saying, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. And you shall love thy neighbor as yourself. I talked about that yesterday, about the two commandments. Love the God with all your heart, and also equally is to love your neighbor by yourself. Remember, I told you about that. Why is it important to love your neighbor? Amen. To love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What do I still lack? What else do I need to do, Jesus? Because I've done it all. And Jesus said to him, I want you to be perfect. Go. Here we go. How many of you, if Jesus had told you to go and sell everything, go, just give it all up. Give it all up. You just bought a new house. Come on. Are you serious? You got a house. You got a car. You understand? You got some nice things. Your house is banging. It's set on fire. Every time somebody walk in your house, they're like, whoa. People see how you dress. You know what I'm saying? You got the latest. Some of you got the updated iPhone, and Jesus said, get rid of it all. Get rid of it all. So he said, and then he would go sell it all and give it. No, don't just give it to the poor. He didn't just say, go give it to you. He didn't say, go give it to your family, go give it to your friends, go give it to the people that like you. He didn't say that. He didn't say, go give it to your friends, go give it to the people that speak well of you. No. Jesus said, give to the poor. In doing so, you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. See, I got plans for you. And I'm speaking to those out there that hear me with your ear, in the spiritual ear. With anything you have had to give up, hear me right now. Hear what I'm saying to you. Anything that you have had to sacrifice in your life, anything that you have had to give up, it is not in vain. Your giving has not been in vain. Your serving has not been in vain. Come on, somebody. Your loving, your forgiving has not been in vain. Every time you may have counseled someone, man or woman of God, any time you have had to just take yourself away from what you were doing to help someone else, it was not in vain. We are talking about following God. What does it mean to follow God? What does it mean to love God? And sometime in doing that, God requires us to give up things that we have invested in, invested money, invested time. But what God has lots of time trying to see with us is, lovest thou more than these things? Do we love God more? Again, here we go. Do we love God more than our house? Do we love God more than our car? Do we love God more than our job? Do we love God more than our children, our spouse, how much do you love God? And sometimes if God tell you to give it up, let it go, can you let it go? And follow him, because great is your reward. He has treasures. See, these things will eventually fade away. These things are, again, temporal, temporary. This is temporary. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. But the kingdom of God and what God, the treasures that the Lord has for us, is eternal. So when a rich young man, when he heard this, he went away sorrowful because he had a lot of possession. So it makes me wonder, okay, what if he didn't have nothing? Maybe it might have been a little bit easy for him. But he's like, I got too much invested in this, and I'm not ready to give it up. The rich young ruler was confident of his goodness. He was very confident on the fact that he was a good person. He was doing good, following the commandments. But though he had obeyed all of this to the law, he had obeyed it to the letter of law, he still felt there was something missing. He knew there was something missing. His life had been characterized by purity, honesty, truthfulness, but his attitude showed his fellow men, it showed that he had been uncaring. And although he had not stolen nothing, he never stole anything. He had not been born a false witness. He wasn't a liar. He didn't have a selfish life. This rich young ruler lacked the love of God in his heart. Did you hear what I just said? In all that he had on earth, he had gained a lot of riches. You know, a lot of people have a lot of things, a lot of prestige. They're known by a lot of people, good reputation for doing good, good doers. I call them good doers. And they have a lot of property, you know, have acquired a lot of things on earth. But there are also, these are the people of great wealth that lack the love of God in their heart. The Bible states that perfection cannot be achieved by our works. That's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. If therefore the young man will achieve perfection, he would have been able to achieve that through his experience. But how many know you can't get in with your money? This young ruler, his heart should be transformed to love God and what? And to love man. And unless the deadly influence of selfishness was removed, the rich young ruler could make no further progress in his walk. You got to remember Jesus said, he said, those two commandments, and even God said it in Deuteronomy. See, you can keep all the law. You can keep all the laws. You can do thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not. But the two commandments that God is requiring of us, he said, hang all that on top of two, and it's to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And I want you to know something. When you love God with all your heart, and he asks you to give up something, because you love God, and you are not attached to those things, it should not be a problem. Why? Because we love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And we are not attached to the things of this world. The devil, the Satan cannot buy us. He can't hoodwink us. You know, there's a lot of people that's into the musical industry in Hollywood that has pretty much sold their soul. But we don't have to sell our soul. Because truth be told, when you're following God, if I can give you a little bit of a secret, some of you know this, when you really follow God and you sold out, he will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart. But what he wants us first to see is, do you love me more? We know the story of how Jesus told Peter. Peter had denied Christ three times. I never knew him. Peter was a cussing follower, but he said, I never knew him. He got so mad at folks asking him about Jesus, he had to cuss. Didn't I tell you so-and-so, whoopity-whoop-whoop-whoop? I never knew the man. What am I saying to you? There's going to be a time when you may be asked or you are going to have to stand up for what you believe. And it's going to take whether how much do you love God and how much are you willing to let go of that or it or him or her. Each person has his own weakness. And when Peter, Andrew, James, and John, these were the followers of Jesus, when they were called to follow Jesus, the master, he did not ask them, notice, Jesus did not ask them to sell their boats and fishing tackles because these things did not hinder them from following him. What God may ask me to let go of and to give may not be something he will ask you because my weakness is not your weakness and your weakness is not my weakness. So no, Jesus didn't ask them to give that up because that was not their weakness. Sure, give it up, no problem. As I said, we all have our weakness. Nevertheless, when we are called to forsake all in order to that we might follow Jesus, when Jesus asked them to forsake all, he had said some, he had told some of them, you're going to have to leave your family. You're going to have to leave this. You're going to have to leave that. These disciples followed him, and they put God first. That was a test that I believe each one of them had to have. He said, follow me. But to follow me is to let that go. To follow me is to forsake the world. To follow me is to deny your flesh. To follow me is to love people that don't love you. To follow me is to forgive when it hurts. There are some things that God is requiring you on today. And you have to ask yourself, can you follow God? Can you give up what God has been asking you to give up? Can you commit solely to God? Amen? Each person, each one of us have our weakness. Whatever man loves more, listen to me. Whatever a man loves more than he loves God, make him unworthy of Christ. Take that. Hold that. Hold on to that real tight. Whatever you have, if there's something that you love more than God, it makes you unworthy to enter in. That's why God says, again, he said, tell us, love not this world, nor the things that are in the world. For to love these things, the love of the Father can't be inside of you. Do not love this world. Do not love the things of this world. So we see here that even in the most important responsibility that we have in life, we cannot, no matter what your responsibility is on this earth, no matter what role that you are playing, no matter what assignment that you are in, if it comes a time when God said, let it go, you have got to be willing to let it go. So what was so sad about this story is that the rich young ruler could not do what Jesus asked him to do. Jesus gave the young man the choice between earthly and heavenly treasures. But the young man could not put God first. And he went away crying. He could not serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and this world, the things of this world. And I want you to take that with you. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Let nothing, nothing come between you and your love for the God that you serve. I'm praying for you, and we will continue on. We will continue on with this message on loving God because of my spirit. God said, he's saying, keep going, keep going. It's reaching you. I feel you. Some of you out there, this message hit you right on time. And I want you to know that God says you're in the right place. The fact that you're feeling the conviction, the fact that you are feeling at your heart, that's the Holy Spirit. That's God trying to get your attention. The Lord is trying to tell you something. He knows your love. He knows that you love him, but you're struggling. And it's okay to struggle. But God is going to give you the strength. He is going to give you what you need to separate yourself, whether separate yourself from some people who are pulling you away from your calling, your purpose, your assignment, or what God has for you, or it's something that you are indulging in, or if it's something that it is that you know, I don't know, but God knows and you know, you're going to have to have a come to Jesus time in your life where you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I surrender, God. I'm not running no more. I'm not running anymore, Lord. I'm not going to fight you on something I know that you have something better for me. And that's what we all going to have to get, just like this rich young ruler. He couldn't get there. He couldn't get to that place where Jesus told him to let it all go and give it to the poor. So he walked away. I'm telling you, and I'm speaking to your heart, don't walk away. Don't you walk away. And I'm telling you to stop running because God has plans for your life. Everything that's happening to your life, even up to this point, God has had a plan for your life. Whether it be good, bad, or ugly, whether it be shameful, whether some things you have not been able to tell nobody, God says, I know. Now, if you're out there, I want you to put your hands up, and I just want you to raise your hands, and I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this soul, Father, that's on the other end. I don't know who they are, Lord, but you know who they are. I pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. I ask that your ministering angels meet them right now in their room, in their car, wherever they're at. And I'm asking you, oh God, to begin the healing process. Begin the deliverance. Father, it's possible. It is possible for this soul to be saved. It's possible for this soul to be delivered. You said in your word, with men it's not impossible. With you, oh God, all things are possible. Now I stand in the gap as a mediator before them right now, God, and I ask you, Lord God, to restore them. Restore them back to their place, oh God. Forgive them of all sins, spoken and unspoken, or things that they've done in their life, Lord God. I ask you, oh God, as they confess their sins to you, Lord God, that you help them on this journey. Lord God, send them to someone even after this, Lord God, that they can continue, oh God, in this time of healing and deliverance, someone that they can trust, that can become a mentor in their lives on this journey. Because we all need somebody, Lord. Send somebody in their life. But until then, oh God, I ask that you, Lord God, hold them. Hold them right now, Lord. Hold them, Jesus. Hey, glory to God. Hold them, Lord. Hold them. Comfort them. Let them know it's going to be all right. We thank you, Jesus, and we'll continue to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you again for following me. And again, tomorrow we're going to be back again. Today I was at 12:30. I think I'm going to keep it at that time. We have whatever time that's posted on my page, please continue to follow me. We have Blog Talk and we also have Facebook. It's been my pleasure. This is not only for you, but it's for me. I'm being blessed to be able to share because the word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts going out and it cuts coming in. So thank you so much for taking this time. I appreciate you. Go in peace. And to know this, that God loves you so much, and so do I. Have a blessed day.